We are doing Rosh Hashanah. We are up to Perek Aleph Mishnah Zayin, the first chapter of 7th Mishnah. We had seen previously that there is a special inyan. Every person who can should go and testify if they saw the new moon. And we described last night what the new moon looks like. And the Mishnah told us that really they go even at the expense of Shabbat. Even if it's going to be Chilul Shabbat, they would go to testify when the Beit HaMikdash was around. Once the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, only for 2 months. Mishnah Zayin. Avu v'no sheru ta chodesh. Yes.
We see that before we had the Mishnah Dalet, that it says that when the Beit HaMikdash was up, mechalil nafal kulam, kulam mipnei takanat ha-korban. And then on the last Mishnah, we had said that there were six times in the year.
Wait. The previous Mishnah Gimel, discussed the shluchim that Betin sent out to Suya and to the Gola. Those that Betin sent out. Mishnah Dalet, Hey, Vav, and now Zayin are talking about the witnesses who come to Betin. Now we're focusing on the witnesses who saw the new moon and are coming to Betin. Mishnah Gimel was the shluchim of Betin that go out.
And they Mishnah go out Dalet, only on specific times.
Correct. Mishnah Dalet, Hey, Vav, Zayin are going to talk about, and also Chet are going to talk about the witnesses that come to Bedin. Avu v'no, father and his son, Shera'u et ha-chodesh, that saw the new moon. The moon can sometimes be called Chodesh. Yeah? Yalchu, they should go to the Betin, to the Sanhedrin. Lo shemitztafin zeim ze, not because they could combine. We know that they're disqualified as witnesses to unite for a dut, for a unit of testimony. Ela, but rather the reason they both go is, shemi pasel echad mehem, let's say the Bezin finds that one of them is pasul. Let's say he's a guy that gambles on the internet. Yeah, so if he's a gambler, so we're going to see in the next Mishnah that's pasul, is disqualified from testifying. So maybe when the Betin interviews the father and the son, they'll discover that one of them is pasul. Yitzref ha-sheni macher, then we'll take the other one, and he will be able to combine with another witness to form testimony about the new month.
Rabbi Shimon. What if they find retroactively that he was pasul after they already take his testimony?
How long after?
Matter.
Sure, it matters. We say afilu mut'in. The Gemara says even if Bezdin were fooled, they when they declare Rosh Chodesh, that's when Rosh Chodesh is. Even if they were fooled. If we had time, we'd expand on that. Thursday night, Bezachim.
So they go together as a pair?
They go together, and Betin will interview each of them, and they will only be able to use one of their testimony, but maybe they'll be able to combine one of them with another witness. Rabbi Shimon Omer, and whenever we have Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah, it's a reference to Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon says, Avuvno v'chol hakrovin k'sherin le'edut ha-chodesh. A father, his son, and all relatives that we would disqualify from any other form of testimony, when it comes to testimony about the new moon, we do accept their testimony, because Hashem told Moshe, ha-chodesh hazeh lachem, and Hashem was speaking to Moshe and Aaron, and we derive from that, lachem, just like you, Moshe and Aaron are brothers, I would accept you as witnesses for the new moon. So too, other family members could be accepted for a testimony about the new moon.
Together.
So Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon says this is the one testimony where we would qualify, where we would accept relatives in testimony of the new moon. Amar Rabbi Yossi, and whenever we have Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah, that is Rabbi Yossi Bar Tachlafta. You remember Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Yossi were sitting in the room discussing the Romans. And Rabbi Yudav Rabbi Eloi. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said they're wicked. Everything they do is just for themselves. And that's why he had to go and run into hiding. Rabbi Yossi was silent. Rabbi Yossi was banished up to Tzipori. Rabbi Yossi Bar Tachlafta. And Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi, who said, no, they're good. Look at all the positive things they're doing. They appointed him as Rosh HaMdavim B'Kol Makom, that he should be the first one to speak whenever they had public speeches. So now we have Rabbi Yossi, who's Rabbi Shimon's counterpart. Amar Rabbi Yossi said, Maseh B'Tuvia Rofe, it happened with Tuvia the doctor, Shirat HaChodesh B'Ushalayim, he saw the new moon in Jerusalem. Hu Uvno V'Avdom Shuchar, him, his son, and his former servant. Now, we know that when a person takes a non-Jewish slave, we give that slave 12 months, and we tell him, within these 12 months, you have to accept Judaism. You want to? Good. If he does, we give him a bris milah, we tovel him in a mikvah, and then he's obligated in mitzvot like a woman. If he does not, then we cannot keep him. We'll sell him on to a non-Jew or something else. He cannot remain an Eved Kenani. Eved Kenani is someone that by definition accepted for himself and his offsprings from now on to keep mitzvot like a woman. So now after he's released, he's obligated in all mitzvot. And during the time that he was a slave, he was obligated like a woman. So now we have Tuvia Rofeh with his son and this guy who's a former slave. Now he's a full-fledged Jew. So they're on their way to the temple to testify. They all saw the new moon. So Tuvia, his son, and the slave that is no longer a slave. Now he's a full-fledged Jew, a former slave. He has bad yichus. He was a former guy. He was a guy, became slave, became freed slave, full Jew. Before he's freed. So long as he's a slave, he's chayav like a woman. Now that he's freed, he's full-fledged Jew. Yeah. But he has bad yichus. So the Kohanim, they're always interested in yichus, right? For kahuna, you need to have good yichus. So, v'kiblo ha-kohanim otov et bano. They're on their way to the Sanhedrin, and the Kohanim say, oh, you're good, we'll take you and your son. We'll go like Rabbi Shimon. Ufaslu et avdo, but we won't take the former slave, because he used to be a slave. He has bad yichus. Ma? Sheilat tova ma ze sheikh leichus. Ze... הסברה של הכהנים שפסלו אותו, הם סברו שצריך ייחוס. אני לא יודע מה היה המקור שלהם. I don't know why the Kohanim held that you need to have ייחוס. I don't know. That's what they hold. Yeah, they held like Reb Shimon, but I don't know. They said it has to be מיוחס. That's how they darshan the pasuk. That החול שזה לכם, I guess maybe מיוחסים כמוכם. I don't know. וכשבאו לפני ביתים, and when they came before the courts, finally, קיבלו אותו ואת עבדו, they accepted him and his former slave. It's interesting that the Mishnah calls him עבדו. ופסלו את בנו, and they disqualified the son, because the courts ruled like Tana Kama, not like Rabbi Shimon. And here we have Maaseh Rav. Whenever the Mishnah recounts a story, that's called Maaseh Rav. The story has more weight in halacha than in opinion. Even if the story would side with a minority opinion, it would have more weight than the majority opinion. So the halacha, the Mishnah, seems to be telling us clearly, like Tana Kama, not like Rabbi Shimon, that we do not accept Kovim, but we would, and also not like the Kohanim, we would accept a former slave. So what do we see? We saw a father and son should go and testify. Maybe one of them will be able to combine with another witness. And we saw that Rabbi Shimon said father and son could be accepted as testimony, and Rabbi Yossi told us a story that the Betin ruled not like them. Yeah.
Okay. So, right, I think this sounds
good. Mishnah Chet. Elu ein apsulin. The following people are disqualified.
About the Meshuchar.
Yeah.
So, now he's full-fledged Jew, he's got 12 months, he's...
No, wait a second. Let's start again.
Right, while he's your slave, he's got an obligation like Evet Knani.
He is an Evet Knani. We're talking about an Evet Knani. We're talking about a non-Jewish slave, an Evet Knani. When he is purchased, he has 12 months to accept mitzvot like a woman, get a brit milah, and get toiveled. He wants it fine. He'll remain Evet Knani his whole life, be obligated in mitzvot like a woman. If his master chooses to free him at some point, he will have all mitzvot like a full-fledged Jew. This is an Evet Knani.
So automatically, by freeing him, he becomes a full-fledged Jew.
Correct.
Wait, so what if he refuses to accept
him? We'll sell him to a non-Jew. We won't leave him among us. Mishnachet, elu en apsulin, the following people are pasul midrabanan, midoraita, anyone that transgresses in avera that gets malkot, we wouldn't accept as a witness. But here we're talking about pasulim midrabanan, they're people who do things that in their minds are kosher, and midrabanan are not kosher, and therefore we say if they don't keep things the way they should, we're worried maybe someone will bribe them and they'll be false witnesses. But these are issues which really midoraita are okay, and midrabanan, our sages said, are prohibited. So what are we talking about? Hamsachek b'kuvya, one who gambles. In the ancient times, they used to take the knuckles of animals and make dice out of them, and then they'd gamble with that. So that's called mesachek b'kuvya. He plays with dice. He's gambling. So when we gamble, I'm always assuming I'm going to win. If I say I'm going to throw two dice, if it comes out an odd number, I get 100 shekel. If it comes out an even number, you get 100 shekel. The only reason I'm willing to gamble is because I think I'm going to get it in then. If I really thought I was going to lose 100 shekel, I wouldn't be gambling. So Chazal said, when I lose and I pay the 100 shekel, that's gezel. You're forcing me to pay something which I never really agreed to. So Chazal said, midrabanan asmachta lo kanya. You're saying so initially, it isn't a form of a kinyan. You didn't really validly acquire it. And therefore, if you take the money after you win a gamble, that means you're stealing. So Chazal said, anyone that gambles, midrabanan, we don't accept him as a witness. Umalvei beribit, and a person who takes interest on his loan. So I'm not stealing the money from you. You agreed to pay me that money. So I'm over on a different nisul doraita, but I'm not over on gezel doraisa. It's not gezel. I'm not stealing the money. It's a different nisul, the ribis. Umafrichayonim, people used to take pigeons.
I mean, it's different. It says in the Torah says...
It's a nisul doraita, correct, to take ribis.
Yeah.
But it's not gezel doraisa. Meaning, if I agree, here's $1 million.
I don't care if it's Gezel, Doraita for...
It's a different, you're saying it's a different Isu Doraita. So,
no,
why...
No, it doesn't matter. Why do they have to...
Yeah, what's to do with Gezel? That's not the subject.
Gezel, fine. That's already a side point. But Isu Doraita shouldn't even be on the list.
So, fine. So, some Mefarshim say we're talking about Ribis Drabana. So, there are many forms of Ribis. Let's say a school tells you if you pay full tuition in the beginning, then your cost is going to be 1,000 shekel for the year. If you don't pay full tuition in the beginning, then throughout the year you're going to end up paying 1,200 shekel. Very often they do that for registration of camps, for all kinds of things. So there can be instances where that's mutar. Depends
kind of
on how it's worded.
Right.
And there can be instances where it's ribit rabanan. Before one makes such a deal, one has to check halachically. Umafrichei yonim. So some commentaries say we're talking about ribit rabanan. Umafrichei yonim. They used to fly pigeons, and they'd bet which pigeon would get there first, like a horse race, only with pigeons. So, again, that's a form of gambling.
They fly away.
I guess they knew how to do it, or they did it within a coup. V'sochrei shvi'it, and people who do business with Shemitah fruit, where the Shemitah bizman is drabanan, so they're doing an Isur with fruits that the whole Isur is drabanan.
Why drabanan? Because the majority of families said it was in the land?
We'll say like that, fine. Bavadim. It's unclear. We just see from the Torah there's a concept of ribit rabanan. How it works is a diyun in the rishonim. Va'avadim and servants, them or they're already pasul midoraita. Zaklal. Now the Mishnah tells us a klal. Whenever the Mishnah tells us a klal, en lemedim in aklalot. Our rule is a klal is not as encompassing as it sounds. It means in general, but there are always exceptions. Zaklal. The general rule is kol edut shena isha ksherala. Any testimony that would not be accepted from a woman, af hen inan ksherin la. They too are not accepted for that testimony. That really tells us that there are going to be things that we do accept them. Chazal say, let's say a woman comes into town and she's wailing, I just found Shmendrik dead. So we go out and we don't find Shmendrik. She says, I'm telling you, I saw him and the wolves were eating him and they dragged him away. I saw him dead. I saw one wolf had his head, the other wolf had his arm. He's dead. So we accept her testimony. We'll let that woman get remarried, the wife of Shmendrik. So there Chazal said, we accept a woman's testimony, but at the same token we'd accept an Eved's testimony. There are instances where we do accept a woman, and that's where we would accept an Eved. So what do we see in this Mishnah?
What
Mishnah
Chet. So Af Hen, what is Eved?
Af Hen, they too. Af, even,
right?
Hen, they, the slaves, the Eved Kanani.
Is there anybody with that name today?
Shmendrik? I don't know. So what do we see in our Mishnah? Eilo en apsulim, the Mishnah said the following people are disqualified from giving testimony about the new month. If they gambled by playing with dice, if they give a loan with ribis drabanan, if they gamble on birds that are flying, if they do business with shvis bizmanazez drabanan, or the slaves. And in general, slave isn't accepted for anything that a woman's not accepted for testimony.
Vice versa.
Correct. Mishnah teit, I don't know about vice versa. It seems to go hand in hand. Seems that way. I don't know enough to answer that. Mishnah Tet, mi shirah et chodesh ve'eino yechol lealech. If someone saw the new moon and he himself is not fit to go all the way up to the courts, molechin oto al hachamor. So we take him on a donkey, even on Shabbos. Afilu b'mita, even if we have to carry him in his bed. He saw the new moon, we have to take him to testify, if he could only make it there. Vim tzodeh lahem, and if there are people ambushing them, we know that the tzedukim, we're going to learn in the next perek, they tried to make us trouble when it came to testimony about the new moon. So the kutim, so sometimes they try to ambush us on our way. So the Mishnah says, lochim b'yadam aklot, so take along sticks. Very simple. Vim ha'ita derech rechoka, and if it's a long way, lochim b'yadam zonotzi, take along food. Shal malach laila v'yom chalin tashabbat, because you remember, when do we see the new moon? Directly after sunset. You have all Friday night and all Shabbos day to make it to the Beit Din, and the Beit Din will accept their testimony and say, this is the new month now. So for a journey of a night and a day, we would desecrate Shabbos, v'yotzin le'edot t'chodesh, and we go out to testify about the new moon. Shnemar, the verse says, Ele mo'adei Adonai shetikru otam b'mo'adam. And whenever we have the term mo'ed, so Chazal Darshan, mo'ed means even at the expense of the set time, the mo'ed of Shabbat. Even if it comes at the expense of Chilul Shabbat. So what we just see in our Mishnah, if a person needs help to get to testify about the new moon, we'll take him on a donkey, we'll take him in his bed. If we're worried about an ambush, we'll take along sticks. If we need to take food for the way, we'll take food for the way. So long as we can make it there within 24 hours, we go.
So Moed can even refer to Shabbat?
Moed is a reference to Shabbat. These are the set times, even at the expense of Shabbat. Moed means that it's set time, and we understand it to mean that it's set time even at the expense of Shabbat, which is also called a Moed.